What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 164 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
John, I am doing all right. This is one of those days where I question, why did we ever think it was a good idea to record this? Not only record this, but record it live on a Monday. Like, it's rough.
It definitely feels like a Monday. It definitely feels like a Monday for sure. I don't know about you, Joey. I went home early from work today. Feeling a little under the weather, but good enough to hang tight there for Level Up Nation to record tonight. So this one's for you, Nation. We're going to hang in there.
Well, John, I did not go home early from work today. In fact, I went late into work today. When I woke up this morning, it was still dark outside. So I was like, oh, my alarm shouldn't go off. It must be wrong. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute, an hour after. So I ended up being about 20 minutes late to work this morning. So I stayed a little bit later even.
I did the same thing. And Joey, funny story about the whole daylight saving time crap. I'm just going to call it what it is. It's crap. So yesterday we had the XFL game in D.C. So I woke up fully planning on tailgating with a couple friends up in D.C. I woke up. My Amazon Echo said it was 9 a.m. My iPhone said it was 10 a.m. And I turned on my TV and it said it was 11 a.m. Joey, technology has failed me. And I was so confused. I didn't know what time it was. Nothing was updating. Apparently, my Amazon Echo was disconnected from the internet at some point through the night. My phone, which is usually pretty reliable, I guess not. And then my TV, which turned out being correct. It was 11 after freaking out for a half an hour. No, I feel you. I don't like daylight savings time. I wish we got rid of it. The purpose of it doesn't really matter anymore. We just need to get rid of it because this confusion I can't deal with is really what I'm trying to say. Nation, that confusion can be found on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Listen to our rants there as well. You can follow the Level Up Podcast at the LVLUP Podcast. It's the Level Up Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, why not give your favorite host or your least favorite host a follow on Twitter? You can follow Joey at Courtside King, myself at Fiasco. If you're watching here live on Twitch, first off, welcome as always. Joey's handle right below his mugshot, my handle right below my mugshot as well. If you're listening on your podcatcher of choice down the road, that will be in the show notes for you below. Nation, while you're at it, why not leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice? The Level Up Podcast is now available on Spotify, Stitcher, as well as iTunes and Google Play. Reviews do go a long way to help grow the show and the community and reach new listeners. So when you do have a moment, we would appreciate you taking a small portion of time out of your day to leave us a review. Nation, I'm going to be real here. One thing PC gamers have had to deal with for ages is the threat of viruses attacking your computer. Now gamers are seeing viruses IRL affecting gaming events all over the world. Of course, the coronavirus hype has made its way into esports. Joey, I don't have my end-of-the-world supply of Purell and Lysol yet, but I do have enough to get through this topic on this week's show. Joey, before the world is quarantined, what other infectious topics will be spreading on this week's episode of Level Up Podcast?
Wow, John, that was very well done, sir. I love the little puns being jumped in there, just like these viruses are. We're talking a lot of roster moves, and we're going to have fun with this one because I don't know how to pronounce half of these names, so that's going to be good times in the roster section today. On top of that, we're looking at adding two new segments, one on the coronavirus, since it keeps coming back to the show, and also on GeForce. A lot of big moves there for NVIDIA's product. We have some new games coming out on Xbox Game Pass that we're going to touch on a bit. A really fun new character coming out in a game, Call of Duty Warzone, where we dropping, bros, and a lot more.
All right, Joey, we have our infectious topics. Drink of choice time. Now, normally I would highly suggest alcohol because alcohol disinfects everything from what I've heard, except they don't want you making hand sanitizer out of alcoholic beverages, which to me I think is just absolutely absurd. I think that's the only way to make hand sanitizer. Joey, your beverage and antivirus medicine of choice, please.
Well, while John might be washing his hands in bourbon, I think I'm just going to drink mine. I'm going to go with a Woodford Reserve again. This is the last bit of my bottle. So instead of switching it up this week, I'm going to hold over one more week and drink it down today.
Well, Joey, while I do not believe the virus hype, I do believe that drinking water is a great way to stay healthy. And according to our friend Pat at Esports Fair Play, drinking water every 15 minutes can stop the spread of coronavirus. I'm not going to go into detail. It was a very, very long Instagram post he had up there. But kudos to Pat for his coronavirus watch, and I will be washing my coronavirus down with water today, Joey. Oh, boy. All right. Let's do it, Joey. I don't want to waste any more time. Let's get this infection over with. Let's get right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
Kicking things off with some industry acquisition in the Dota 2 department, we have Cloud9 moving with Skem and Faded to the bench, and they are now releasing Flea as well from their Dota squad. In exchange for those three players, they're bringing in Eternal Envy, Ace, and Sneaky King. I believe this is a good move overall for C9. Their Dota team, in general, it needs a little bit more energy. It needs some different change going on. I think a roster move could be that solution. One of the other big things with C9, though, in the past, and I think we've mentioned this on previous shows, they've really just picked up their Dota teams right at the end of the year, right before major tournaments like the International in August. This is C9 really investing much earlier on into the scene in February and March. Now we see them looking to really integrate a roster early on and try to have it grow throughout the full season, as opposed to picking up a roster that's really stood out throughout the year. So I like the fact that, again, I'm not sure if these are the award-winning roster moves they need. Eternal Envy has been one of those players that's had a lot of question marks around his name throughout the scene. At the same point, this to me is C9 showing they are ready to continue investing in this roster. They're ready to continue helping this scene grow, in particular doing it so early on compared to what they have done in the past.
Joey, hear me out. Cloud9, League of Legends team, has Sneaky. Cloud9, Dota 2 team, has Sneaking. I love it. It's perfect. It's a match made in Cloud9 heaven. I absolutely freaking love this.
Then over to T1. They're also hopping into the Dota scene. They have a roster full of Forev. We have In Your Dream, Juan, Black, and Jokam, with head coach C. Carter coming in as well. Again, I think this is a good move by T1, more in the sense that Dota is a very lucrative scene. The prize pools are huge out there, the International always being the biggest prize pool in esports. It seems like every single year by a long shot. At the same point, T1 is one of those teams that just had a huge merger. It already has that giant name of SK Telecom T1 with Faker on the team for League of Legends. But other than League of Legends, they're still struggling to make their name in other scenes. I think Dota is a great scene to continue expanding into and continue to build up that brand in. Over to CSGO, we have Dignitas adding Guardian. Guardian, a legendary CSGO player. He's going to be a stand-in for Flashpoint, which is that new CSGO scene, one of the new CSGO scenes coming out, where we have Cloud9 buying into that one. On top of Flashpoint, that's also the huge talent pool as well. You have Moses over there, Monte Cristo's over there, Thorin, a number of big-name talents in esports are helping fund the scene and helping really grow the production and broadcast of the scene as well. So Guardian being a huge player, coming over to Dignitas here, working with an all-star roster while Halzerg's visa gets sorted out. I like this move again, John. I don't think... I'm going to be a little kinder with this one. I think Guardian's a very talented player. I think he brings a lot of leadership to the table. At the same point, when I look at Dignitas's roster, there's a lot of age and a lot of veteran talent, and that could work either really well for them or really poorly for them, because as you age, your mechanics technically go down, or typically go down, let's say. At the same point, you're bringing in a ton of knowledge. And in a scene like CSGO, where knowledge is just as key as mechanics, I think this could really help Dignitas out, and I think Guardian could be the perfect stand-in.
Did you just call Dignitas the team of boomers? Are you, like, calling them out on their age?
I'm just saying T-Spans might okay boomer them if we're getting serious here.
That right there, just on cue, okay boomer from T-Spans in Twitch chat. It was almost like he knew what we were talking about. No, and I have to agree with you. I mean, it's just... science, unfortunately, the older you get, the less your mechanics go away. That's why you don't see a bunch of 90-year-olds trying to play this game. It makes a lot of sense here, but that knowledge can be a massive tool to use for your team to gain an advantage. You see that, take a look at traditional sports. The older a football player gets, let's say a linebacker, for example, he may not be a pass rusher anymore. He may be more of someone who drops back in zone coverage, but he understands where he needs to be and the angles and everything else. He may not have the speed to like chase a guy down over 40 yards anymore, but he understands, you know, where he needs to be. He knows how to read the game better later on in his career than earlier on. You just have to kind of tweak your game as you go. Same thing in esports. As you get older, your mechanics start to slow down a little bit, maybe get a little more delayed. Maybe your eyes are starting to go a little bit. And that 18-year-old is absolutely whooping your butt. That's what happens. You gotta play differently. You got to do something that 18-year-old's not going to do. That's think outside the box. So I think it's a great move for Dignitas. And yeah, we'll just call him the boomer team from now on, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things I think to think about too, like there are many positives having a veteran as well as the negatives of the real mechanical play, if anything. At the same point, John, I think you can argue the too many cooks in the kitchen type of thing as well. If you bring in all these veterans, they have been in the scene for so long, they know so many different methods of playing certain ways out. And when you're playing this one particular set, let's say, and you have certain people at B, certain people at A, and you think it's going to play out this way, well, all these other veterans might have a different presence. Maybe they had a different experience with the teams they were on. Maybe things are going to go a little differently than they expect. So when you have so many people out there, you really have to determine who that in-game leader is going to be on a veteran team. Whose voice are we going to listen to when it comes down to these clutch moments where tons of action is happening, tons of big decisions need to be made on rotations? Who is going to be that one voice? So in these veteran teams, I think that is extremely key to decide who that shot caller is going to be, because if you leave it up to a team effort, you're going to have a bunch of different veterans that, yes, they know a ton of the game, but they may have also played it out in different situations.
And shocker, visa problems still plague esports in North America, especially in the U.S. I would like to see this get sorted out sometime soon, but I think the government has other things on their hands that they're dealing with at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not catching coronavirus, you're catching visa issues here in esports, it seems like. That seems to be the trend. Over in Rainbow Six, we have G2 adding Na'Vi, Citizen, and Fnatic adding Fnatic's Virtue to form their RB6 super team. John, this is a big move. I can't speak too much for Na'Vi's side with Citizen. I haven't followed the RB6 scene all that much, but as far as Fnatic's Virtue goes, he is extremely talented. He plays over in the Australian League in APAC for Rainbow Six. They've done very well. Fnatic has always, it seems like, punched above their weight in Rainbow Six tournaments coming from the Oceania region. And Virtue's been one of the big key players in that. Now you have him going over to G2. Not only G2, an amazing team and organization, but one of Fnatic's rivals as well. So that's a big hit, really, to Fnatic's roster, but also a big hit to the European Rainbow Six scene, because now they're going to have this powerhouse team of G2, and we've already seen how powerhouse they can be in League of Legends. Now they're coming into another scene with a ton of talent, and it's going to be tough for other European teams to stand up against this team.
You know, these super teams are really bang and bust. We've seen it a lot more recently in like League of Legends, especially in North America. You know, you had TSM when Yellowstar came over. You had the first version of Immortals. And even right now with Team Liquid having these massive, massive, names on their team. And Team Liquid is just now starting to win. You know, when on paper, they should be wiping the floor with some of these LCS teams. I don't see this happening here, but it's always something that needs to be on your mind is, you know, a super team is great. But if there isn't any chemistry, if there isn't any, ability to mesh as a team, then, you know, you could have the best players in the world on the team. If they're not communicating, they're not playing together, they're not on the same page, they're going to be just as bad as the worst team in the world game-wise. You know, talent can only take you so far. But I don't see that happening in this case. I think this is an absolutely great pickup, and I think this is going to be a nightmare for Rainbow Six scene in Europe.
Right, and I think one of the big points of this in particular is you're not really bringing in a ton of ego players. These are both players that have really stuck well in teams that might not be the biggest team out there, might not be the most successful team. They've shown that they can be humble but still drive and still deliver, and I think that's one of the key factors, as well as the language barrier. You're bringing in a guy from Australia, there's going to be no language barrier there. Extremely talented, but coming from Australia. So what we've seen with a lot of these League of Legends teams, for example, is players are being imported from South Korea, from China. There's a lot of really time that has to be dedicated to them learning the English language, or the English players learning certain cues that they can use for those South Korean or Chinese players. So I think the fact that we have an English to English transfer working here is going to be a big aspect as well, because they can just kind of hit the ground running. There's really no language barrier there to hold them back at the beginning. So other than just meshing with the team and learning that quick communication, the language barrier won't be there. Over to PUBG Mobile, we have TSM deciding to drop into PUBG Mobile. They are dropping in hot, John, and they're doing it in India, similar to what we saw with Fnatic last year. We have TSM Entity coming in here. Again, similar to what we saw in Fnatic, where they're trying to invest in that global brand, trying to expand in different scenes. Fnatic has done it with Australia with Rainbow Six. They've done it in India with the same title, PUBG Mobile, and they continue to do it worldwide, as does Team Liquid and T1 as well. Now TSM saying, hey, Team Liquid, you're not the biggest team here. C9, yeah, you're doing the same thing, but we can do it too. And TSM is going to try to match it over here with a pretty solid roster. They have Clutch God, Neo, Jonathan, Gotak, and Z-God coming in for their PUBG Mobile team in India, where that scene is absolutely exploding.
I'm going to need Jonathan to get a better gamer tag. That's just too generic for me.
Is that spelling kind of killing you a little bit too? Or are you doing all right with that one?
No, that's actually the correct spelling of how you spell Jonathan. So shout out to Jonathan for actually spelling it correctly. Without an O at the end of Jonathan or slapping an H up front. Those people are weird. Spell it right, people. Spell Jonathan right. Stop being weird.
And then with most teams and organizations casting their mobile esports sites into the PUBG mobile scene, John, SK is going to take a bit of a different approach. Similar to what we see Caffeine trying to innovate on the streaming side, SK is going to try something a little different here with a different mobile game, and that is Brawl Stars. For those of you who don't know, Brawl Stars is run by Supercell, so it's the same gaming company that overlooks like Clash of Clans, Clash Royale, a number of those big titles out there, and also recently bought by Tencent for that majority share. So this is them trying to invest in the giant that Supercell has become. I don't know if they chose the right title to do it in if you're looking at Supercell titles. They are looking at Brawl Stars, though. They have a roster of Yeedy, Skyrix, Twisty Twick, and Achille coming in with coach B4YU77. No idea how to pronounce that, so we're just spelling that one out. Overall, again, I don't think this is the greatest move. I think when you're looking to invest, you want to invest in some of these other scenes where we really see a lot of money being driven into the prize pool, where we see a lot of engagement coming in, where we see other big organizations like your Team Liquid, your G2s, your Fanatics, all of them buying into the scene. This one is not one of those scenes that I've seen too many big name organizations buy into. So yes, it could be SK making a really smart 200 IQ play. At the same point, it could be SK just trying to settle for a scene that they think they can do well in.
Yeah, and sometimes that's what, I mean, we're going to see more organizations do these luck of the draw kind of, you know, gambles where, you know, there may be a title that not all people are diving into and they want to dive in and be the first person in there to take a look at it.
Absolutely. Bless you over there too, buddy.
I muted my microphone.
Okay. Well, I'm going to bless you anyway. People on live can see you sneezing or coughing. Coronavirus. Partnerships. 100 Thieves has partnered up with Elgato Gaming to empower the team's training room, streaming pods, and of course, Nadeshot Studio as well. John, this is a big move. Elgato Gaming being one of the biggest companies, being one of the biggest products, being one of the biggest developers when it comes to streaming setups. They have lights, they have capture cards, they have audio capture, cam link capture, they have the green screen. They have just about everything you could need as a streamer, as a premium product. So 100 Thieves, they have this brand new, gorgeous new building. What is it? The Cashback Compound, the Cash App Compound.
Cash App Compound.
It's absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. You can go on a house tour with multiple 100 Thieves members online on YouTube. But now you can also check out these amazing Elgato products that they have littered throughout there, as well as many other training rooms and studios that their teams compete in. I like this move in general, John. I think Elgato is a great partner to partner up with. When you look at a lot of esports players, a number of them stream as well. Why not find a streaming partner like Elgato to partner up with? 100 Thieves, again, making a very, very smart move here. And as far as streaming product go, I don't think you get much better than Elgato at this point.
Yeah, and Elgato really is kind of changing the way gamers stream. The capture card, you know, about a year ago, I was looking for a capture card. I ended up going with Elgato. It's incredibly simple. The software they put out, super, super easy to run, very friendly to your PC and your CPU. And just everything else in your computer. I think it's absolutely great. The Stream Deck, something I use, you know, during this stream for this very show. Absolutely love the Stream Deck. It's essentially a mini production board. You know, you can switch scenes, switch cameras, switch everything. You know, we use it for a lot of our productions, you know, for esports as well, to change scenes, to change to different cameras, to different angles. It's incredibly, incredibly fantastic what, you know, Elgato has done. Now, some things that I'm not a huge fan of that Elgato have done is just, you know, their price point. They realize they're essentially they're the only person in this market, and all their products work together. Those Elgato lights, yeah, they're going to cost you $150 per light. It's steep, but it's going to connect to your Stream Deck. It's going to, you know, you can have your entire gaming studio set up on your Stream Deck if you run everything through Elgato. It makes a lot of sense. Partnerships like this allow streamers and professional gamers to essentially have the control of their entire studio, their entire broadcast, their entire stream at their fingertips on the Stream Deck, and it's absolutely great. But for the, you know, average streamer, the average gamer who maybe wants to hop on there every now and then, it's still super expensive. I do love this partnership, but what I would love to do is see Elgato kind of bring it down into the community level also, not just going after, you know, these large partnerships with 100 Thieves. I want to see them partnering up with local, you know, game centers or game education centers like the Game Gym, which I do believe Elgato is a sponsor of theirs. So I want to see more things like that where it allows people who may not have that extra disposable income to at least try these products out and see the benefits. So later on, they can either A, save up for it, B, get it for a gift or something, or C, you know, if there's a raffle, you know, they're going to be, you know, ultra psyched to try to get in there and try to win that raffle. I love their products, but I want to see them, you know, it's great for 100 Thieves. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking them. I want to see them more on a community level, though, with their sponsorships going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think both are win-wins, to be completely honest. When you look at Elgato pricing, like you said, John, it's a bit of a premium. You're not looking at cheap, cheap products here. You're looking at possibly the best of the best when it comes to streaming equipment. So, yes, I think having players like 100 Thieves that pull in, between all the players, millions upon millions of viewers coming into 100 Thieves, now they're seeing, well, at least on the Twitch stream, they're showing out their setup. They're showing what graphics card they run, what equipment they're running in their PC, what peripherals they're running, and also what streaming equipment they're running. So I think seeing that many eyes onto the product and also doing videos for it, doing ads, whether it be ad reads, ad shows, all different things like that, I think that's going to be a huge, huge benefit just because you're tapping into the 100 Thieves name. Now, on the opposite side, I think capitalizing on community events and community tournaments and organizations is also great as well. Like you mentioned, the Game Gym, it's a wonderful place to put stuff out there, especially as kids learn to become streamers there as well and to continue to evolve and grow in learning different games. Now you can also show them this is the equipment we're using. Maybe you get a certain discount for that equipment. Maybe they get their hands-on experience with that equipment, and then they're willing to have their parents, or their parents are willing to pay a little bit more because little Johnny is comfortable with this certain equipment. He's grown accustomed to it. He knows how to use it. So I think there's a ton of different benefits for both sides. 100 Thieves purely on the eyes, getting that many viewers to look at it. But on the opposite side, that hands-on experience, especially with premium products, no one really wants to go out there and pay a premium for a product they haven't tried. Getting that hands-on experience at real community-style events and community-style venues is going to allow them to get their hands on, and then maybe they're willing to make that purchase from there. Setting sail for our next topic, the U.S. Navy has partnered with Evil Geniuses to conduct tryouts for their CSGO team. This is not the EG CSGO team. This is the U.S. Navy CSGO team we're talking about here. The U.S. Navy has continued to make a lot of moves in the gaming and esports space as of late. They've done a lot of sponsorships for different events. They've looked at bringing in on multiple rosters, I believe. I want to say they're in like three or four titles at this point, CSGO being one of the next ones that they're looking to jump into. And with this deal, they're going to have Evil Genius host their tryouts. This is a huge win for the Navy, in my opinion. One, you're looking at a military-style game, which is probably what you should be looking at as a U.S. military branch, because this is the way you're going to connect to those gamers who might eventually become your drone pilots or might eventually become some way integrated into your system. Because there's guns involved. Like, obviously, there are different games and different mechanics get involved with them, but a gun game is definitely a easy connection for people to make with military. Now, at the same point, I think there's a huge, really a huge positive of doing this with Evil Geniuses, not because of their name, but again, the same reason with 100 Thieves and Elgato, they're going to bring a ton of eyes to it. If it's a U.S. Navy CSGO tryout, how seriously are you going to take it? If it's an Evil Geniuses CSGO tryout, they're a well-known esport organization. They have tons of connections. They're one of the top CSGO teams right now, arguably top five on most people's lists. This is a huge way to pull people in for a tryout and then for the U.S. Navy to benefit, not only getting their name on the tryout, but also ending up with a great team in the end probably as well.
Yeah, and this is something like we've touched on this multiple times. I'm glad to see, as a Navy brat myself, I'm glad to see the Navy get more involved with the esports. But this is something completely normal over the past 5 years is we've really started to see the armed forces and all the different branches come out and really sponsor esports. I think it's a smart move. You know, there's a lot of people that are anti-military, anti-war, and I get that makes complete sense. I understand you. But this is a theme. I said it, I believe, a couple episodes ago, but I'll say it again. This is a theme that has been prevalent in gaming for forever of gamers becoming the next generation of warriors. We see it in Overwatch with D.Va, where she is literally a pro gamer that the South Korean government has used for their mecha program. So it makes complete sense. The drones flown by the military right now are flown with Xbox controllers. That is a 100% fact. No one's ever going to deny it. They have a deal with Microsoft. It's there. it makes sense for the military to look at gamers as their next generation of warriors, because that's where the world is going. It's becoming more cyber-based. It's becoming more IT. And war is going to go in that direction, too, is you're going to see less boots on the ground and more, you know, I mean, it may be far off down the road, but I would not be surprised the day we see something like a D.Va mech, you know, on the battlefront versus, you know, boots on the ground versus a lot of people, you know, a lot of soldiers, a lot of lives on the ground in a strange place, you know, doing whatever they need to do. So it just makes sense that the military is kind of evolving like this. And it's good for esports, too, because that's more money coming into esports. It's more money that, you know, the teams can rely on, organizations can rely on, events can rely on, and it's smart. It helps grow esports even more, and hopefully there's a trickle-down effect from these sponsorships, from the U.S. Navy. The Air Force is another branch that is incredibly involved in esports, Army as well. You know, sponsoring organizations, sponsoring events, I think it's good. I do understand the criticism of having the military come in and sponsor these events. I can understand people's frustration with it, but I think the pros versus cons here, I think it's good for esports going forward, having an organization like someone from the armed forces, like a U.S. Navy, who's not going anywhere anytime soon, sponsor these events. I like this move for Evil Geniuses, and I expect to see more of it, and we already are seeing more of it.
Right, and it just makes sense. I mean, when you look at a lot of these different drones and different robot-style military-esque inventions and products that are being used right now, a lot of them are driven by Xbox controllers as well. So who do you want driving those Xbox controllers? Do you want that guy who might not have experience with a controller, or do you want that kid who's played on a controller half of his life? It just really makes sense. So maybe now that we're moving more into PC games, we'll eventually see that move to mouse and keyboard, eh? But we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But I think it just makes sense. I mean, you're looking at younger generations. You want your pilots to have very strong mechanics, and who are you going to look to? You're going to look to somebody who doesn't play games versus someone who plays games and really works on their mechanics day after day through repetition and through different teamwork aspects as well. So there's tons of positives to it. Again, you're going to have anti-military, you're going to have anti-war, and it definitely makes sense as an argument. At the same point, I think there are positives that could come out of this as well for both the military and the kids being looked at for these particular teams. For chat as well, so the U.S. Navy already has a signed Overwatch team and a Call of Duty lineup. So this will be their third official team in esports, to my knowledge. Moving on from that, John, to have, this is a little somber, but it can be a little fun too here. Our new segment here, we're going to call it My Corona, featuring COVID-99, the coronavirus. It seems like weekly, John. I feel like this has to become a segment at this point because every single week we're canceling more and more events due to the coronavirus outbreak, and it is very serious. Let's get serious, guys. Have a serious moment. Please wash your hands. I've been to conventions before. I know there are people that could do a better job washing themselves. Please, let's use some soap. Let's use some bacterial stuff going on here. Let's clean ourselves very nicely as gamers. I know we want to be quarantined. We want to play more video games, but let's do it for better purposes.
If I may, real quick, and it's kind of funny. So the voice actress for Symmetra, Joey, you and I had a chance to meet her at a local convention here in D.C., KatsuCon, I think it was a couple of years ago. And so at KatsuCon, during their opening event, they have you know, all the guests that are there. Then at the end, they talk about how important hygiene is. I've never been to conventions other than KatsuCon where they actually have a segment dedicated to hygiene. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just stating facts. That's what was said. But on Sunday, when we were standing in line to meet the voice actress for Symmetra, not Symmetra, I'm sorry. Sombra. There we go. Sombra. The voice actor for Sombra. We walk up there and she looks at Joey and myself and she's like, "Wow, you guys look put together." And we're like, "Yeah." She goes, "Guys don't smell either." We're like, "No, we don't." She essentially thanked us for being clean. It was really weird. But that goes a long way. Like, when you're around people, you don't want to be the smelly person. You don't want to be the person with the incredible bad BO. And now with coronavirus, you don't want to be the person spreading the virus around because you don't know how to wash your hands. Joey, it took a worldwide pandemic to get people to wash their hands finally. It's ridiculous.
And the scary thing is, once this is all over, people are going to go back to doing the same old,
yep,
and just leaving the bathroom, not washing their hands, and all that kind of stuff. So, hey, guys, if you're going to be one of those people, I advise you to go talk to Panicking Pat on Twitter right now. He'll go ahead and send you the right direction.
He has a coronavirus watch 2020 going on there.
Yeah, don't get added to his list, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Anyway, for the My Corona segment here featuring the coronavirus, we have the LCK. They're going on an indefinite hiatus due to the ongoing coronavirus epidemic. Again, guys, we don't want to make a light joke of this. There's going to be a little joking here and there, but this is a very serious thing. Please wash your hands. Please be careful. If you're coughing, please stay at home and get checked for the coronavirus. At the same point, on the positive side for us Westerners, I think this gives us a slightly better chance at the World Championship for League of Legends this year between the LPL and the LCK going on hiatus here. In all seriousness, though, John, because now you're looking at so much less consistency from an esports standpoint for these leagues to play. So the Korean teams might not be as well gamed as they are previously to World Championships. The LPL, who has dominated at Worlds the last 2 years, has now been out on hiatus for, 7 weeks, 8 weeks at this point? So yes, players are still playing solo queue. We know how great of a practice environment that can be. yeah, let's not talk about solo queue. But it's definitely going to be different than being on stage, playing up against these teams at a high competitive level. Even if you're looking at scrims, you can ask any single team in any single league. It can even be the Turkish league. They're out there and they'll tell you that scrims are not the same as playing on stage in a LAN environment. You can dominate teams in scrims and it'll never show up on stage potentially. So this is a huge, huge factor for a lot of League of Legends leagues right now. So far, it's been the LCK and the LPL that have shut down. I don't actually know as far as the Taiwanese league. That may have shut down as well for a while, being over there at Asia where the epicenter really is happening with the coronavirus. But as we see it continue to move west, maybe we eventually see Europe shut down. Italy is very contaminated right now. I don't think there's been that many cases in Germany, to my knowledge, where the LEC takes place in Berlin. But then you have the LCS as well. New York has now have a lot of cases. California has a lot of cases. Cases are popping up in Florida and the DMV. So tons and tons of coronavirus being spread around. It's one of those things that we're talking about League of Legends right now, but this is going to impact many, many esports leagues as well as conventions for gaming in general. You don't like our Western chances here, John?
No, I think it's funny because the last time the West won in League of Legends was Season 1, where Korea and China didn't have a league yet. And then ever since then, it's been donezo. Like, Fnatic won Season 1, and that was it. Western teams have not had, they've had chances, but not really. I think it's, I guess it's the bright spot in the very dark shadow, if you want, the dark shadow of the coronavirus. No, but I mean, you're right. It's, unfortunately, it's something that's affecting everyone worldwide. I believe I read an article of the LPL is looking at restarting sometime soon.
They are, yep.
The LCK, indefinite hiatus. I mean, that's arguably the best, League of Legends region historically, and is neck and neck with China, for the best league in the world. It's tough. It's tough for esports fans. It's tough for League of Legends fans. It's tough because you want to watch the best of the best play. You want your team to win by beating the best teams. You don't want your team to back into a win. You don't want your team to win with an asterisk next to it saying you banged on a trash can, or maybe you won because some organization wasn't in there for because of a technicality, or they weren't in there because their league shut down due to a massive pandemic. You don't want to have that little note next to your championship, kind of like how Fnatic does in Season 1 because Korea and China wasn't around.
But there is no asterisk to that. It was still a league. Yeah. It still happened.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. I'll go ahead and grant you that one. But no, I mean, it's incredibly, it's scary. The whole situation is definitely scary. Right now, the infection rate is still pretty low. But the fact that every day you turn on the television, you can't go anywhere without, people fearing for, getting this. You know, you can't go to a grocery store and get toilet paper, Lysol, or Purell. That's part of the joke of the opening of this episode. It seems crazy, but at the same time, people have a legitimate fear, and rightfully so. You may not be at high risk of contracting it, but the risk is still there. No one knows how to contain it, and it's going all over the place, and it's affecting esports. It's affecting daily life. It's unfortunate, but Joey, I think you're right. I think Western teams do have an advantage if we were to put some kind of, silver lining on this whole thing in the LCS, and not the LCS, but League of Legends Worlds and international competition going forward, because unfortunately the coronavirus hitting Asia so hard.
Right, and it's more just an analyst point of view compared to really a silver lining in general, just to clear that up. But yeah, I think from an analyst perspective, seeing these two Asian regions that are so strong when it comes to the World Championship, having a lot of delays and having their scene really reset, restarted, delayed, all over the place for the LCK and LPL, is definitely going to have an impact. At the same point, the summer split is really when things start getting turned up. As we see a lot of these teams progress, as we see a lot of these teams get more and more serious, as that real synergy is made. Now, for some of these teams, we're seeing that delayed into summer to originally find that synergy. So yes, you can work together in scrims, you can duo queue together. At the same point, it does not compare to a live LAN event. So we're going to see some of that delays, and we'll have to see how it all shakes out. But at least for now, the LCK will be going on an indefinite hiatus. So John, I'll run through the rest of these. We can break them down a little bit more, but they all are Corona related. The LEC Spring Split Finals are being moved from Budapest to Berlin due to the outbreak. They see Berlin as a safer location, at least at this point in time, due to fewer cases being there compared to a region like Budapest. So we do see that change being made for the Spring Split Finals. Again, we don't know what the Summer Split looks like just yet. As of right now, it's still planned to be taking place in Berlin. Rocket League Esports, the Rocket League Season 9 World Championship live event scheduled from April 24th to the 26th in Dallas has been canceled due to the coronavirus outbreak as well. They're looking at different options to reevaluate what they can do in place of the World Championship this year. It does look like they will go through the remainder of the season. It's going to be moved to online play, though. On top of that, they will go all the way up until the promotion series. They'll complete the promotion series to see which teams make it in, which teams get dropped down, and then they're going to pretty much stop, it looks like, at this point, right outside of where that World Championship would take place as far as playoffs and championships and all of that. So we'll have to wait and see how this continues to develop and if anything gets put in that place, or if the World Championship gets rescheduled later down the line. We really don't know at this point. Psyonix has been a bit tight-lipped on it, other than the fact that they're exploring opportunities, exploring possible options, and canceling for now. Last but not least, in the My Corona segment, we have EA deciding to postpone their Apex Legends Global Series Major 1 that was initially scheduled to take place as well in Texas, this one in Arlington, Texas. So, John, we have EA suspending Apex Legends. We have Rocket League suspending their World Championship with Psyonix and Epic there. We have the LEC keeping their Spring Finals going, but moving them back to Berlin to their main studio. And again, the LCK going on an indefinite hiatus, all because of coronavirus. And I believe this is our third week of episodes in a row where we've seen major events get canceled.
Yeah, and it's not going to stop there. We're going to see more events in the future get canceled. One of the biggest ones, South by Southwest, was canceled. That's massive, for the tech industry, for gaming, for music. It's a conference that I follow very closely. And canceled. That thing's been going on for 34 years, and it's canceled now because of this concern. You have other major conventions coming up. You have E3 in the summer coming up. There's a bunch of question marks around all of these large gatherings, since there really is no information on how to contain this current outbreak of this virus. So it's unfortunately it's the world we're in right now, and until the world can figure out better ways of controlling the situation, unfortunately, this is going to be the new norm until further notice, until this coronavirus gets under control.
And one other thing with the South by Southwest example. So this is twofold in a sense. So one, you have tournament organizers canceling due to either attendees canceling, due to organizations that were going to be there presenting canceling, due to speakers canceling, or organizations that just want to keep their participants safe. On the South by West side, not saying the fact that they wanted to not keep their participants safe, but they were also pressured by the city of Austin. So you're also seeing different cities, different countries come out and make their opinion known as well. So I think South by Southwest probably would have looked at canceling anyway. They regretted doing it. They didn't really want to do it, but at the same point, they see the reasoning behind it. But that's one thing you're going to get. So even if an organizer really, really wants an event to take place, if someone, say, like the city of LA says, hey, This outbreak's getting worse. We're not going to allow you to continue doing this. That's another fold that might play into this as well. And our other news segment of the week, John, we have GeForce Not Now, a little play off of the NVIDIA Now or NVIDIA GeForce Now service. John, this is our third week in a row for this one as well. A major publisher has once again pulled out of the NVIDIA service. This time, it's going to be 2K games. So Activision Blizzard being one of those giants that pulled out. I think it was Bethesda was another one that pulled out. And now we have 2K games pulling out as well. This service just launched like 3 or 4 weeks ago. This is a brand new cloud-based streaming service. It's competing with Google Stadia is out there. There's a few other no-names out there. Microsoft's Project xCloud is another one of the big ones that's going to be officially released here soon, currently in beta. This is a little concerning, and there's a few different approaches we can take, and we've talked about a couple of them. Is it someone like the Google Stadia or Microsoft buying these exclusive deals for publishers like 2K or Bethesda or Activision Blizzard? Or is this them saying, hey, we don't want to be on this platform for some reason that we don't know at this point? Personally, I think this is deals being made. I could see Bethesda easily going with the, I'm going to say the Microsoft route, because we've seen a lot of deals between Microsoft and Bethesda before. The 2K games route, I could see this going either way. So it's just, it's interesting to see, because Stadia has really struggled. They're trying to find their footing. Exclusive titles could be one way to find that footing. At the same point, we have Microsoft now looking at someone like Google and Amazon as their two biggest competitors. Amazon also rumored to be entering the cloud space, so they could also be the player buying these up. So it's very interesting to look at the cloud computing space and how this is all breaking down in particular, because exclusive deals in this space could go a very, very long way later down the road.
For sure. And if it's exclusive deals, if I was NVIDIA, I would be wanting to make that statement very clear, because this looks incredibly bad. You know, the nightmare that is Google Stadia and all of its issues that they're having, at least they still have games to play. NVIDIA is losing publishers left and right, it feels like, on a weekly basis. And losing 2K, I mean, that's the number one basketball game in the world, NBA 2K. That's massive. That's huge. You know, it's definitely not good. I would want to see better damage control coming out from NVIDIA trying to explain what is going on. I agree with you, Joey. I do think it is exclusive deals being made. But if I was NVIDIA, I would want to be making that very clear and then trying to go after exclusive deals myself to kind of reassure, you know, my consumers that, hey, you are going to have something to play. And if you get our product, you are going to be the only one to play it. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. They're losing left and right.
Now, the other thing, so I don't know how many people realize this, but 2K, it does more than just NBA 2K. This is a giant publisher out there. Borderlands 3? Yeah, that's by 2K. That giant game that came out last fall, 2K. WWE, a lot of people will bash it, but it has a huge following as well as far as sports titles. Or theatrical titles, depending how you want to look at it. That's got a huge following. Civilization, another big game that they have under their belt. XCOM, the BioShock series. Battleborn. There's a number of different titles that people would recognize out there under the 2K franchise. So we're not talking just this NBA 2K game, which is giant in and of itself, but we're also talking all these titles that don't have 2K in their name, but also fall under the 2K franchise. So tons and tons of different titles being pulled, not to mention all the crazy ones being pulled with Bethesda and Activision as well. So a big hit out there to the NVIDIA GeForce. It's just going to be curious to see how this all plays out and who they end up going to or what ends up happening in that space. Moving over to Xbox and Microsoft, Project xCloud is not officially released, but they are releasing some more titles. And the original Halo, Halo Combat Evolved is now available on PC. And it's going to be included with the Master Chief Collection on both Steam as well as Xbox Game Pass for PC, for those of you who subscribe to that. John, I've mentioned this before in the podcast. As a huge Halo fan, I've actually never played Halo Combat Evolved. I was a PS2 owner. I did not own the original Xbox. I loved PlayStation back then. I still have a heart for both of them, but I am definitely more of an Xbox gamer compared to PlayStation, let's say. PC, definitely all the way. Hashtag PC Master Race. But I like this. I like the idea that now I can have the option to play Halo. I was not going to go out and buy an original Xbox to do it. I could have played it on Xbox, but now that I've developed more and more to PC for shooters, I think PC will probably be where I jump on campaign with some members over there on the OTN Discord server. Did you play the original Halo?
I did.
How was it?
It was great. You missed out quite a lot.
I know. Well, combat has evolved over the years, and I'm ready to jump back in there and see how it is. Speaking of evolved combat, Bleeding Edge, also coming from Microsoft, and it releases officially this month. I believe it's like the 24th. Someone in chat can check that, but I want to say Bleeding Edge drops the 24th. Another beta weekend this weekend ahead. It has a new fighter that just got announced, and John, I'm very curious to get your opinion on this one. It's going to be Miko or Meko, depending how you pronounce it. I believe it's pronounced Miko. Is a trash-talking, crab-walking dolphin piloting a mech. Miko will play as a ranged tank, similar to what we see with... what's your boy's name in Overwatch?
Hammond?
No. The ranged tank boy. Starts with an S. Oh, what's your melody line?
Oh, Sigma.
Why? Yeah, I cannot think of that for right now. Mondays, hello. Sigma. So it's kind of like that similar style where he is a ranged tank, but he also looks a lot more like we see with Hammond there. Wrecking Ball, as he's named in-game. So he's going to play as a ranged tank. He's going to have limited mobility. He's going to be in this mech with all these legs going on with it. I believe it's 4 or 5 legs. He's going to have a crazy assortment of abilities. So it's going to be very water-based as well as mech-based. He's going to have the ability to pull some of his teammates out of harm's way or maybe pull them into a fight potentially as well. And then on the opposite side, we're going to see him having a bubble shield that can absorb damage and eventually turn that back into power as well. So a few different mechanics we've seen in other games, whether it be MMOs, whether it be shooters, whether it be MOBAs in general. So the kit itself is not super unique, but the character itself, a trash-talking dolphin in a mech, just sounds like amazingness to me.
It is so dumb yet so awesome at the same time. A trash-talking dolphin literally in a tank. You know what? It's different. It's outside the box. I would have never saw this one coming. I see this being incredibly bad. I like it. You know, I'm gonna give him a shot. I think it's unique. You know, we were just talking about how the evolution of gamers becoming, the next cyber soldier, if you will. Now we're seeing it in game with a dolphin becoming a tank. And he's in an aquarium to keep him busy when he's not blowing stuff up. It's weird. It's unique. It's weird. The idea, kudos, very unique. But I don't know. I'm not sold on this yet.
Yeah, I'm not sold on it because I don't really play too many tanks in shooter-style games. But at the same point, I love the idea. I love the concept. I think he's supposed to be the most difficult character in the game yet, too. So there's supposedly a lot of difficult mechanics. I've not looked at his kit yet. I haven't done that much research on it. But if you're going to be the most difficult character, it feels like some of those characters are already quite difficult. I think he's probably going to elevate it to another level as far as what can be done with high-level mechanic players. Now, at the same point, I love the name. I don't know if this is what it's meant to do, but at least this is what it did with my name. When you look at Meko, I think it's supposed to be Mechanical Echo. And for those of you who are old-time gamers, or as T-Spans would call a boomer, Echo was this dolphin game on Sega Game Gear, I believe, where you could use like sonar commands as a dolphin to try to work your way through these levels. So big throwback there, and I have a feeling that's what the development team was going for with this name.
I'll have to go back and check my Game Gear to see if I had that. I don't remember having that game.
Yeah, I think it was like called Echo the Dolphin. It was spelled like ECCO, I think. I think that's what this is a throwback to, but I could be completely wrong. And that game was hard as hell. Call of Duty Warzone has now been officially announced. It's been teased for pretty much the whole weekend. It is now official. Call of Duty has dropped it. This is going to be a free-to-play Call of Duty game, John. Knock on wood, mark your calendars. Activision is giving us a free-to-play Call of Duty game. This is a time to rejoice, a time to be happy, especially while a lot of people are locked indoors because of coronavirus. It's going to be cross-platform as well, so this is another huge win for gamers. If John is on PlayStation and you're on PC, you can play with him. It sounds like this is fully cross-platform, so Xbox and PlayStation can play together as well. Thank you to games like Fortnite and Dauntless that have made that possible. It looks like we're going to have about 150 players per map, at least for the Battle Royale mode, and that's going to include solos, duos, and trios. No quads out there, just trios at most. 2 game modes, Battle Royale, which all of you know what Battle Royale is, and Plunder. Plunder is going to be a race to deposit the most cash. That's similar to what we see actually with Sea of Thieves, where it's getting the most chests and depositing the most in a certain amount of time. It's kind of going to play off that similar philosophy. Obviously, you're not on a ship. You're running around with guns, but hey, you're still plundering. Good times there. It will have a battle pass. Go figure. They got to make money some way. That battle pass is going to be the way they do it. It's been a huge success in a number of Battle Royale titles. Fortnite, obviously, being one of the biggest ones that started it. Apex Legends, also a lot of success there, as well as other Battle Royale titles that have jumped out on the bandwagon as well. Download size, however, is a little concerning. If you already own Modern Warfare and you have the big title patch that came out a few months ago, it's going to be about 18 to 22 gigabytes for you to have this mode. For someone who does not own Modern Warfare and does not have that giant title patch because they don't own the game, they're looking at somewhere between 83 and 101 gigabytes. Ladies and gentlemen, buy your hard drives before the prices go up. Clear out that space because this is a big in here at possibly around 100 gigabytes.
Yeah, I think I'm fine. I think I double checked. I'm ready for the download. Tomorrow comes out, I believe. Yeah, it's March 10th, is I believe what I saw on their tweet here. I'm double checking my PC right now. No, Joey, I'm in trouble. Both my solid state drives are not full. Well, pardon me, they are full. My hard drive itself has a lot of room, has almost 429 gigs free. But this is probably a game you don't want on your hard drive. You probably want this on a solid state. So I may be in the market for a new solid state here soon with the fact I only have 3.9 gigs free on my current solid state.
Wow, so find John and I at Micro Center coming this weekend.
Yeah, seriously. Payday's yeah, tomorrow, let's go.
It's a very, very big game. At the same point, John, did you ever get a chance to play Call of Duty's Battle Royale that was with their last game?
I think I did once or twice.
I played it twice in beta. I thought it was a lot of fun. I ended up actually winning my first game ever on the beta, and then I came in second in my second game. It was groups, though. I think it was four players for that. One of my biggest downsides for it was the helicopter. I thought the helicopter was very OP. In my second place game, I ended up just taking a helicopter with my squad to what we thought would be the center point. We guessed correctly, and no one could beat us because we housed down in it very early on. So I'm curious to see how this one goes versus vehicles. Are we going to see tanks? Are we going to see jeeps? Are we going to see more vehicles in the style of PUBG, or are we going to see stuff like helicopters that we've seen in other Call of Duty titles and Battle Royales? So I'm curious to see how this all gets played out. I love the game mode ideas. I think coming out of the Battle Royale as well as something else like Plunder is a good decision. I hope we see more and more added in. New maps, I think, is almost a guarantee. This is something Call of Duty has done for years. They'll make you pay for them, but they're going to be new maps probably out there. Maybe they won't in this because they went free to play. Maybe Activision is feeling really good right now. They want to give the players a reason to continue buying in. And honestly, if they give us free maps, they give us free updates, I have no issue giving them some money in a sense with the Battle Pass. I think that would be a fair trade for everyone. If they're able to allow players to play for free if they want to keep that player base running, make game times and lobbies easy to find. With 150 players, you definitely want players playing this at all times. So I think free-to-play is a really strong route here by Activision. And I think players will be willing to buy into the Battle Pass if they do a good job of supporting this as well. I think it being cross-platform is another huge win. Free-to-play, cross-platform, Call of Duty, Battle Royale, I think there's a lot of winning things with this particular launch.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Joey, but I think the helicopter is awesome. I don't know if you saw the hype video that was officially released today, but the fact that in the video, a player came up and capped his opponent in the knees twice, both knees, and he falls to the ground and he kicks him into the helicopter propeller, may have been the most badass moment I've ever seen in a hype video. And I'm watching this at work. I'm just like, oh, let's go. This is so cool. I'm all in. I'm going to make room on my solid state. I may have to buy another one. I don't care. I'm playing this, and I'm not a fan of Battle Royales at all. Not a fan of Fortnite, not a big fan of PUBG and all of its glitchiness. I just feel like the Battle Royale market is incredibly saturated. This is adding to it. They're going to have to find a way to stand out. I think they're doing that by having two different modes, 150 players versus 100. It'll be interesting to see. Call of Duty is one of those titles that has a very solid fan base and has the opportunity to make an impact in the Battle Royale market. I don't think we're going to see it dethrone Fortnite anytime soon, but I do think it's going to give it a good run for the money. If anything, if you're an Apex fan, that's the one I'd probably be a little bit nervous of here, even PUBG, with a lot of people liking PUBG because of the realistic aspect to it. The graphics are more realistic. Here with Call of Duty, you're going to have that also, and you're going to have more vehicles and there's going to be a lot of things that's going to compete directly with both of those titles. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how well Call of Duty Warzone does when it comes out tomorrow on the 10th.
Yeah, I honestly think all four are going to be fine in their own vein. I mean, when you look at Apex, I think one of the things that's always going to hold it up is the class stuff. So the fact that you have different skills oriented with these players, that's something you really don't see in these other big major battle royale titles. So I think that holds it up. As far as PUBG goes, Call of Duty has really never made it that successful in Asian markets. So I think the fact that we see PUBG over there, with Tencent being a huge majority shareholder of Bluehole and PUBG Corp, or whichever one the overriding is, for that umbrella company, I think that's a huge support, having Tencent with the distribution over there in Asia. And then on the same point, you look at Fortnite. Fortnite's a monster. It's a monster on mobile. It's a monster on any other platform or console. So it is going to be huge no matter what. I think one of the biggest things for Call of Duty is the fact that it has such a huge following, like you mentioned. I mean, Call of Duty has been a franchise that has been around forever. It's sold titles every single year without fail, it feels like. Some years it'll be a little down compared to others, depending who the developer is or depending on what scene they choose for that title. But overall, Call of Duty always does well, and now making it free-to-play, I think, is just going to skyrocket upwards. Though, if this was Reddit, John, I would have to do a little exclamation point, remind me in 14 days to see how you're feeling about helicopters in Call of Duty and Call of Duty in general. I know you've had your struggles with Call of Duty in the past. I've had my moments of glory as well as plenty of struggles myself as well. And I'm curious to see how that translates, one, on PC for me, because I was a big console gamer for Call of Duty, but then also into this new free-to-play title compared to what we've played before for Call of Duty titles, because it feels like every single year, the amount of bullets it takes to kill an enemy could be either very few or very a lot more compared to every single title, and then the different weapons and vehicles and kill streaks and all that crazy stuff. So we'll have to see how this one shakes out, but I am excited as well initially. Over to our weekly Esport League gaming updates. John, we had Gears Esports Mexico. This one still did take place, so while lots of esports events are being canceled, we had a number of them take place. Gears in Mexico was one of them. For this one, we had Reciprocity taking down Pittsburgh Knights, an up-and-coming esport organization for both these two. They are repeating as the major champions, this time at the Mexico City Major. So Reciprocity won San Diego. Now they've won Mexico City. They pocketed a cool $80,000 for this one, with Pittsburgh Knights taking home $40,000 as well for second place, and so on and so forth. John, Gears Esports is something we've continued to see grow throughout the year. They've lost a few organizations here, but they've seemed to regrow them back pretty quickly, whether it be a newer organization buying in or a veteran organization trying to branch out into new scenes. Again, we don't have to say it again because we've said every single episode, we're not going to dive into it, but the goriness of Gears of War does hold it back as far as major esports scenes. At the same point, the viewership numbers are going up. We see the prize pool going up. We see the majors being held in multiple different cities. So the gear scene is growing. Again, it's probably never going to make it to that giant mainstream that we see something like an Overwatch, League of Legends, or CSGO make it to. But at the same point, for these smaller organizations or smaller scenes, I think Gears of War is becoming more of an example of what they can become.
Yeah, and let's be real here. Gears was always going to do well online, you know, streaming on Twitch, streaming on whatever channel they want to put it on. It's always done well. Like, the idea of Gears being a successful title and a successful esport was always there. It's, could they make that next jump? Could they make it to those big corporate dollars like we see in Overwatch League and in League of Legends? And yeah, you're 100% correct. We won't dive into it, but, you know, that the gore is the biggest issue here. But the fact that their viewership is going up online, that was going to come. Prize pool, you know, in fact, the first place was $80,000. That's a decent chunk of change. You know, it's not up there with some of the other major titles, and that again is because of the fact that the game is incredibly gory. But I feel like for this game is still going to do incredibly well online. That's where all these major titles originally made a name for themselves, is online, before those corporate dollars really started coming in. So I think Gears will still survive. They'll still do well, and we saw here in Gears Mexico with this amazing tournament that it is doing well and it is thriving and it is growing as well.
Speaking of growing, they're not competing in the new Battle Royale, but they are competing in the mainline title, and that is Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Over to the Call of Duty League, John, we had the most recent weekend held in Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Gorillas, no, not big apes like Winston. We're talking gorillas like Military, as well as Optic Gaming in Los Angeles. The teams that competed in this were Atlanta FaZe, the Florida Mutineers, the Minnesota Rocker, Seattle Surge, Dallas Empire, and the New York Subliners, as well as the two LA teams previously mentioned. So we had a pretty big, talented field out here, John. a lot of these teams being very highly rated, a lot of these teams up in the top five, if not top five, just outside of it for a lot of people's rankings. So pretty solid field down here for the first event in LA. We're looking at the semifinals. We had Optic Gaming in Los Angeles representing the city up against the Dallas Empire. The Empire took that one 3-1. And then we had Minnesota overcoming Atlanta FaZe, a very big powerhouse team, 3-2 in that All-Star Series. That leads us to the final where we had the Dallas Empire take on the Minnesota Rocker, and Dallas took the win. Dallas Empire getting crowned the champion over in LA. Maybe a new rivalry on the horizon there between Dallas and LA. It's a little far distance-wise, but Dallas taking down two LA teams to be crowned on home turf for LA is huge. And Dallas really had a lot to prove coming into the series. They haven't really played up to a lot of people's expectations. While we have seen teams like the Atlanta FaZe, Minnesota, some of these LA teams really play up to the expectations versus Dallas, I think Dallas really made a huge point coming out on top in this one.
Yeah, great result for Dallas. You got to be happy if you're a Dallas fan for that. Minnesota, a team that has consistently been performing. They've been playing incredibly well every weekend that they've been involved. Now they make it to the final here against Dallas. It goes the distance, goes all five maps, and Dallas ends up taking it there. I think it's incredibly... I think CDL is starting to prove some people wrong. I feel like they have a little bit more to go. But overall, the numbers have been consistent. A lot of people are very happy with the product. The production is great. Viewership could probably, you know, it's doing well. I'm not going to say it's awful. It's doing well. I feel like they're starting to trend in the right direction here. And Dallas is, you know, Dallas and Minnesota put on an amazing show. I don't know if you got a chance to catch the final there, but it was absolutely thrilling.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest question marks, like you said, is the format. The fact they're running in, it's very much like a round robin style group format that plays into a small bracket as opposed to like an actual seasonal format where we see these teams playing, against each other week by week. It's more of a, these are the teams playing in this tournament. This is the winner of this mini tournament coming over. So I like how the format's working. I think one of the biggest negatives against it, at least for the earlier part of the season, is the fact that it's broken up by a couple weekends. So we might have a tournament in the first weekend of the month, but then the next tournament won't be until the third weekend of the month. Stuff like that, I think, gives it a little bit of a downside where, let's say you're a huge super fan of the Optic Gaming Los Angeles team, you can only watch your team every couple weeks. So maybe they play in week one, and then they don't play in week two because there's no tournament. And then maybe they don't play in week three because they weren't invited to Paris. And then they don't play in week four because there's no event. So you're going maybe a whole month before seeing your team compete again. I think that is the biggest downside of this league right now. As we move into April, though, so the last week of March, there's an event. The first weekend of April, second week of April, third week of April. So you have four back-to-back events happening. That's going to give fans a bit more time to invest in their teams, to see who their players are, see what players are being moved from the roster to the bench, who is growing, who is getting better, what organizations are continuing to show more success on a week-by-week basis, as opposed to only getting to see your team maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. I think that's going to be the biggest plus for this Call of Duty League, and I think once they start seeing more of that consistent viewership and consistent ability to engage in fans, I think we start seeing the viewership numbers come up as well. Over to the Overwatch League. John, this last one was hosted in Washington once again, Washington, D.C. at the Anthem for week five. How did it shake out?
So, Joey, our predictions on the Justice were correct. The Justice did go 1-1, so we'll start with that. So, Joey, pat yourself on the back real quick. You deserve it. You predicted correctly. So they beat the Boston Uprising 3-1. I feel like that was a very friendly score. Boston, not a bad team. It's not surprising they took them out there. But Washington played incredibly well against Boston on the first day, and the second day on Sunday for the Justice going up against NYXL. That's going to be the big tough one. That's the one that we had a lot of question marks around. The Justice ended up taking a map off of them as well, but they did lose 3-1 to that one. So overall, Joey, 100% correct on our predictions for that week for the Justice. A couple of things that kind of shocked some people. Houston Outlaws 3-0'd Paris Eternal. That was one of the matches that we wanted to keep an eye on as well. Paris Eternal, after losing 0-3 to Houston Outlaws, goes 3-2 against the Fusion the very next day. The Fusion, a team that a lot of people consider easily a top five team. Paris Eternal comes out and takes them in five games. A tale of two teams here, really, but Paris Eternal coming out with a strong 1-1 week here as well. But everything else kind of played out the way we thought it would have. with maybe the other exception being Florida Mayhem taking down Toronto 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is just a wacky theory out there, but Paris Eternal, their logo is a rooster. Daylight Savings started this past weekend. Maybe there was something involved here. I mean, going 0-3 against the Houston Outlaws, that seems absolutely crazy to me. This is a Houston team that has looked very weak so far. A Paris team that may not have looked like the strongest team out there, but they got cockle-doodle-dude right here, John. The Houston 3-0. I mean, this is bad. I was not expecting this at all. And then Paris just waking up. I guess they woke up early. The sun did rise here. It was still dark out, but Paris was ready to play. Philly slept in, it looks like, 3-2 for the Paris Eternal here. I mean, this is a huge win as well. So you came out with one of the worst possible losses you could have so far early on in this league, but then you also come out with a win against a top three, top five team on a lot of people's lists. I mean, I don't know what to make of Paris at this point. This is crazy to me. I think I don't want to say every other match was chalk, but every other match fell exactly the way you and I thought they were going to. But Paris, man, I was not expecting a loss to the Outlaws, and I was definitely not expecting a win against the Fusion.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had them going 1-1, but 1-1 in the opposite direction with the win coming against Houston, the loss coming against Philly. You know what? I'm a little shocked. Paris played Philly incredibly well. I guess that's going to be, Paris Eternal is going to be a team you're going to have to watch going forward. A result like this where one day you get absolutely swept by one of the worst teams in the league, and the next day you go five maps against one of the best teams in the league and you end up winning, that's rough. I mean, that's a team that is going to be interesting to watch going forward, just to kind of see, can they build off of that major win against the Fusion from last Sunday? But Joey, the second time Washington Justice have hosted a homestand, the second time at the Anthem as well. If you watch the stream, if you were there in person, a lot of compliments about the venue of choice there for the Justice. It was absolutely fantastic. The atmosphere was incredible. Joey, on my drive into work, I was listening to the Sports Junkies, and one of the guys, I mean, they are the definition of boomer. First off, if you're not familiar with DC Sports Talk Radio, the Sports Junkies are straight up boomers to a T. One of the guys took his kids to the Anthem for the Overwatch League, and he was talking about how he was expecting a bunch of nerds, a bunch of unsanitary people that crawled out of their mother's basement to show up to this thing. He was like, I was surprised. There's a bunch of normal people. It's boomer talk like that that really doesn't help the older generations connect with millennials and Generation Z, the Zoomers. It doesn't help at all. But I guess the fact that he kind of came around to realize that this was a massive thing, that the place was sold out and that there was actual hype around it, it did kind of put him in his place, because he didn't actually talk negative about it this time, where on Friday he was kind of running his mouth a little bit. But that just goes to show you how well the Justice put on this homestand, along with the last homestand they did as well. It was absolutely fantastic. The energy was amazing. The overall production, the event, the atmosphere, top notch, easily two of the best homestands we've seen. Now with the Justice, they do have three more homestands, and there is a change. It's going to be moving to the ESA in Southeast DC, the Entertainment and Sports Arena. More of a traditional arena setup versus the Anthem being a concert hall. I don't expect the energy to die down. I don't expect anything to change. I feel like there's going to be more opportunity. Now, the big difference here is the ESA, I believe, is going to be holding less than what the Anthem held. The Anthem is 6,000 people, and Joey, correct me if I'm wrong, the ESA is right around 4,500. So it's going to be a smaller venue, correct?
I believe you're right, but there is still one more homestand at the Anthem as well.
Is
the one
there?
In April
it was
at the Anthem.
Is it?
I believe so, to my knowledge, unless that's changed.
Two and three.
I believe it's three at the Anthem.
If it is at the Anthem, definitely go there. We've been saying it forever. The Anthem is a fantastic facility. Even if you're not going for esports, if you want to go see a concert and you're in the DC area on the Wharf, the Anthem is fantastic. I can't speak highly enough of that venue. But definitely if you're in the area and you're a fan of esports, you have to go to the amazing event that the Washington Justice are putting on there. They are absolutely crushing it. I have not heard a negative thing from anybody who has gone. It has been outstanding. Blizzard has put on an amazing production with the Overwatch League there. And yesterday on Sunday on International Women's Day, they did a fantastic interview with Ballin, and it was absolutely great talking about women in gaming, women in esports. You know, they're very in touch with what's going on in the world, and it was absolutely fantastic that that happened here in DC. It was a really strong message to hammer home there as well. But overall, just fantastic time for the Justice at the Anthem. Definitely, if you're in the area or you're nearby, a couple hour drive, hey, you know, if you're 8 hours away, fly in. Definitely, you want to experience a homestand here in Washington, D.C. It's been second to none.
Right. And they also had Katie Bedford as the host for the event as well, which absolutely she killed it. A lot of really good things happening for the Washington Justice here in Washington, D.C. The Overwatch League events bring a ton of energy. The Justice have done a wonderful job hosting it. And we do have some more events coming up, John. We do need to look forward to next week in the Overwatch League as well. This one, unfortunately, not here in D.C. for us, but maybe for some of our other listeners out there who might be based out of Miami, the Florida Mayhem are hosting this upcoming week for week six. Again, the Asian teams and Asian hosting events are still on hiatus for now, but we do have some action happening in Florida. And John, which teams or matchups are you looking forward to the most to see?
Oh, so you want to take a look at the Paris Eternal, but they are only playing one match, and so they're going to be against the host Florida Mayhem. So that's going to be a real test to see if the win against Philly is real, or they're going to revert to the Paris Eternal that we saw against Houston. That's really going to be the only question here. Is going into this game, I expect Paris Eternal to take this easily, 3-0, 3-1 maybe. But I don't see them having a reason to lose after the incredible performance they put up against Philadelphia. That's going to be interesting. The Justice against Toronto, that's going to be another great one to watch. I think the Spitfire versus the Atlanta Reign is going to be a very interesting matchup as well. Atlanta, I really don't want to say the Spitfire are kind of like sputtering out of the gates or anything. They've been playing well. They're definitely not the season one Spitfire, but I feel like the Atlanta Reign Spitfire matchup would probably be a very, very solid one to tune into.
Well, sir, you mentioned about four of them.
I know. I meant, like, there really is not a bad matchup this upcoming weekend. I think, you know, New York Excelsior versus Atlanta, that is going to be a slugfest. I do think New York is going to take that one 3-1. It might go the distance, but I do think New York will take that one easily. But I mean, there's just so these matches have been incredible so far.
Well, I'm going to jump in there actually and debate you a bit here.
Go for it.
I think the Atlanta matchups are going to be the ones to watch. I feel pretty confident in all the other results. Again, pending Paris a little bit. Who knows what rooster will show up that day. But the New York Excelsior, Atlanta Reign, these are two teams that a lot of people put in their top five. These are two powerhouse teams. It feels like New York always brings it in the regular season and then falls out. They fail to excel, let's say, in the playoffs. The Atlanta Reign, on the other hand, they just seem to rain down with terror on people in the regular season. They did it last year. I think they're going to do it again this year. They have that potential to be a top five team like a lot of people are rating them. At the same point, you do have some player changes. You have some new players coming in, some new, whether they're starters or substitutes is still up to be determined depending on the game. But overall, this Atlanta Reign roster is very deep and has tons of talent. And same with New York Excelsior, especially after moving up some of the players they had on their academy team that have really made a huge impact on the main team as well. So I'm looking forward to this. I do think New York probably takes this as well, but I think we could see a 3-2. I don't know if I see a 3-1 in this one. I think Atlanta has the power to at least compete, if not win, in this matchup as well. Then down to Atlanta Reign, London Spitfire. I think Atlanta is very good. I'm still questioning what the Spitfire are, where we should rate them. I think they're a high mid-tier team right now. Again, it's tough to tell because a lot of the Asian teams have not played yet either. But as far as London Spitfire goes, their roster has a lot of question marks. There's a lot of players that I would still say are undetermined talent. Like, they're very talented, but we don't know how good they are just yet, and how well they've been tested is still a bit of a question mark with a lot of these Asian teams not playing yet. Some of the American or American-based teams, let's say, North America with Toronto, with the Justice, with the Atlanta Reign, with Philly, we know a lot of what these teams' strengths are, but it's still early on in the stage, still early on in the season. How are all these going to shake out? And I have a lot of question marks as far as the Spitfire roster, because yes, they're mechanically good, but I don't know who half these players are before this season. So a lot of question marks still there for that roster. That's why, for me, the two Atlanta Reign matchups stick out the most. Anything else for the Overwatch League heading into week six for Miami?
I expect the content from these teams being down in Miami to be absolutely phenomenal. So definitely keep an eye out the social media game for all these teams. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of awesome and cringy content coming out.
Hey, we will have to wait and see. But for now, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to head back to Europe for the LEC standings. John, what are they looking like?
Joey, not as many ties as I wanted going into this weekend, after coming out of this week, I should say. G2 sitting on top, 11-3. Origin just one game behind them now, with Fnatic at 10-4 in that two-way tie for second place. Rogue all alone, pardon me, not all alone. Rogue in fourth place with Misfits at 9-5. Mad Lions in six at 8-6. Excel Esports, sevens across the board. Seventh place, seven wins, seven losses. Schalke 04 still can't get to four wins. They're sitting at 3-11 in eighth place. SK Gaming sitting at 2-12 said, hey, at least we're not last place. And Team Vitality is saying, hey, we take offense to that because we're last place in 10th at 1-13.
A-O.
All right, Joey. Big weekend coming up here for your LEC and your European boys. I need a match of the week going into the LEC this weekend.
Match of the week. Picking one for Friday, I'm going to go with G2 Esports up against Rogue. The main reason being G2 has shown vulnerabilities. Rogue, on the other side, has shown how big their strength can be. Rogue, especially Larson in the mid lane, absolutely dominated this past weekend. I don't remember his stats off the top of my head, but I think it was like something like 14-0-14 as far as kills and deaths compared to zero deaths. Or kills and assists compared to zero deaths. So overall, Rogue has been really clicking. Finn in the top lane has been doing extremely well. The veteran Hansama in the bot lane really keeping things together along with Vander. And then Inspired in the jungle has really shown how inspired he is to bring his mid lane up to speed, because they have looked incredible. G2 on the other side. So Schalke might not be at four wins yet, but they have taken down the number one contender in G2. They do have one of the wins off G2 there. And G2 has shown a little bit of a shakiness. They did beat Fnatic, who is arguably the number two team in Europe right now. A lot of that came down to Fnatic throwing at a Baron play. Had that not happened, I don't know how the match would have shaken out. I still think G2 is the stronger of the two teams right now, especially mechanically speaking. But overall, I think Rogue has the ability to beat G2 in this matchup. If they go and play their game, if they don't allow G2 to take it really advantage of the small advantages that Rogue may give them, I think Rogue could come out with a W in this one. Over to Saturday, the match I'm looking forward to the most has probably got to be, there's actually two of them, Mad Lions and Misfits. These are two top teams. Mad Lions has shown that they can be a great team or a terrible team. It seems like every single game they decide by a flip of a coin. Misfits, on the other hand, very talented, a lot of young players on that team as well. So I'm curious to see if Misfits can continue their strength forward. They've had a little bit of a stumble here and there, but Mad Lions, with that mad, crazy youth potential coming in, can they face a team like Misfits? I think Misfits takes this, but I think it is a good game. Then over to the last one, again, a Rogue matchup. Rogue has been a really exciting team these last couple weeks. They are going up against Fnatic. So they're playing not only the number one team in the LEC, but they're playing the number two team in the LEC as well this week. How do they fare against these top teams? I personally rate Rogue around the 4 or 5 spot range. I want to see how they fare up against G2 and Fnatic this week. Over to the LCS, John. Love me some LCS over here in North America. We are still kicking, even with the coronavirus starting to pop up here and there. The LA studio has not shut down, but one thing that did shut down is Cloud9's undefeated record in the spring split. They are now sitting at 12-1 in first place. Throw your headset, grab your flag, whatever you want to do. One of those losses, it came to TSM, your rivals, who are sitting down in second now at 8-6. FlyQuest still continuing to plant trees, but doing it in not as pretty of a manner. They had a rough week this week, but they're still sitting in second at 8-6. Evil Geniuses have been plotting for weeks, and they're slowly moving up the standings now at 7-7, tied for fourth place with 100 Thieves, who stole a few wins this week as well. Immortals, again, they've shown blood, but they're down there with a strong team in Team Liquid and Golden Guardians, all sitting at 6 right now. A lot of question marks about all three of those teams at the moment. Dignitas, one of the stronger teams at the beginning of the split, has started to drop. They're down in 9th right now at 5-9. And CounterLogic Gaming, once again, the only logic they are countering is their own record. They are sitting at 3-11.
Wait, they did beat Team Liquid this past weekend.
They did, but is that really an accomplishment today?
They beat TSM the week before, and then TSM went on to beat Cloud9.
That is true, and we know how that happens. Hello, Paris Eternal.
as much as I don't want to admit that, but yeah.
We'll see how it all shakes out. And again, guys, these records are not final. Games are still happening. Right now, we have Immortals up against Team Liquid, so we could see a little jump in the standings to break some tiebreakers with that one, as well as Cloud9 up against the Golden Guardians. The Battle of Fiasco and Squirkle in chat happening later tonight as well at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. John, looking ahead, though, next weekend, not this week, we have Saturday, March 14th, Sunday, March 15th, and Monday, March 16th with a load of quality LCS content. Which matches do you want to highlight?
I'll tell you the one I'm terrified of, and I know I shouldn't be, but CLG versus Cloud9. CLG has only gotten 3 wins. I understand that, but they beat TSM. They're playing better every week. Cloud9 showing blood against TSM. That one terrifies me for some reason. I feel like that's going to be what we refer to in traditional sports as a trap game. That one really makes me nervous. I think TSM Golden Guardians should be a decent one later that Monday. Let me see here. I guess one of the bigger question marks, granted, they're only separated by a win. 6th place versus 4th place. Team Liquid Immortals versus... I lost it. My page closed.
TSM or FlyQuest?
FlyQuest. Should it be FlyQuest? Yes. Yeah. I mean,
they're both in second right now.
Yeah. So, anywho, I feel like we can see what Immortals is really made out of this upcoming week. You know, will they be able to be the team that a lot of people expect them to be? Cloud9, again, are they going to be able to bounce back? Again, they do have that game later on today against Golden Guardians. Sorry, Squirkle. I just don't see Cloud9 losing to Golden Guardians this week or this split. I just don't see that happening. And I will not put a bet on that. I know that's the next thing you're going to type in chat. I'm not putting a bet on that because as soon as I do, my team loses. There's a lot of good matchups coming up next week. I think Immortals TSM is going to be one that I'm definitely going to be tuning into.
Yeah, I'll second the Immortals pick for sure. I don't see CLG beating C9, but like you said, it could be a trap game. I think if CLG parks the bus in front of the Nexus, the only thing they're doing is giving Zven a pentakill. I really don't see C9 losing this matchup. But again, anything's possible in sports and esports. So we'll see how that shakes out for the Immortals series. Again, I have to agree. I think going up against TSM and FlyQuest, I do think Immortals is probably going to lose both these games at the same point. This is where they can really make a name for themselves, show that they have that potential to continue pushing forward in the spring split, taking down one or two of these big powerhouse teams. FlyQuest has shown vulnerability. TSM has as well. So I think both these teams are very beatable. I just don't know if Immortals is up to the challenge. The last one I want to point out, and this is not just for chat, it's got to be the Golden Guardians and Team Liquid as well. I mean, Team Liquid is one of those teams that, which Team Liquid is going to show up? It's same to that Paris Eternal, same to some of these other teams we've mentioned. Now that Broxah's back, they've shown that they can be a great team, but now we're subbing in another AD carry again. Double Lift is coming back to the Rift if rumors are to be believed. So now we're going to have Double Lift back, paired up with Core JJ. This is the Team Liquid roster that people have been expecting since the beginning, and we've seen it before, and it has performed well, and it's performed not so well. So we don't really know what flavor of Team Liquid we're going to get. They're up against Evil Geniuses and Golden Guardians this week. Golden Guardians being one of those teams that, again, it's like flipping a switch too. They can come out very strong, or they can come out like the expectations people had of them finishing last in the split. I personally think they're going to be right on the border of that playoff spot, around the 6th place spot. So we'll have to see how that shakes out, because they also face TSM this week as well. Anything else to hit on in the world of gaming and esports, John? We have a couple games releasing. I believe Ori is being released as a platformer this upcoming week, and that is an Xbox Game Pass game. Super well known as far as big critical acclaim goes, so that's coming out. Bleeding Edge, I believe, is coming out. I think the new Half-Life game is coming out as well. And there's one other, Doom Eternal, is coming out this month. So a lot of big games coming out this month, and a lot of people will probably be spending that credit card this month as well.
Responding to everybody in chat as you're doing that at the same time. Huge shout out to everyone in Twitch chat. It's been absolutely fantastic having everyone here. A very active chat tonight. Really do appreciate it. So definitely tune back in. We'd love to have everyone back here on OTN_live for our Twitch live stream here on Monday nights. But Joey, I think that's going to do it. So let's go ahead and wrap this baby up. Nation, that will do it for another episode of Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to Level Up Podcasts, let us know. Leave us a review on Google Play, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. Got to change my notes there. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear from all of our listeners so much. We have other ways for you to reach out to us on the show. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us and this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, we stream regularly on Twitch throughout the week. This show in particular, Monday nights at 7 p.m., 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time, depending on what the Metro wants to do to me on my commute home. That is twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We'll catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. Wash your hands. And as always,
level up.